This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Aaron said he had a lot of fun with you guys.
We lied.
Yeah.
We're no fun. Have you ever
now, all we did was talk about Salahead, so yeah, he enjoyed that.
What is that?
That's his other movie.
Oh, that's his next movie that's coming out. Very controversial.
Oh.
You have the unenviable task of stepping into a role that another actor originated in a previous version of the film. Can you talk about doing that?
Sure. First of all, I wanted to make sure that I had her blessing, and when I was assured that I did, I'm a fan of hers. I think she's a lovely actress, and I thought she did a great job with the previous Batman, and I know her tiny bit, just sort of seeing her around at little events here and there, and she has a daughter who's slightly older than mine, and yeah, I really like her work, but I also felt like it wouldn't do anyone any good for me to try to kind of imitate anything she'd done. I would have been horrible at that, and I thought, really the thing I have to do is think of her as a new woman. Of course, there are things in the previous movie, plot points and narrative things that were really important, I think, in our movie, so I paid attention to those and the way she built that, and most importantly, I think that she says at the very end of the movie to Bruce that she loves him, but that she can't be with him while he's Batman. And that she understands why he's Batman, but that she can't be with him. And that plays out, of course, all the way through this movie. And Katie created all of that. So, of course, she was a huge part of this, but not, I don't think, in a direct way for me. I really had to think of her as a different woman when I played her.
Well, when you're coming into this role and you're playing the oldest friend of Bruce Wayne, Christian Bale, did you and Christian sort of get together in advance to sort of figure out that chemistry, or is that something that you guys just sort of found on set?
It's funny because that is exactly the kind of rehearsal that I like to do, just kind of if you're supposed to have known someone many years, hang out with them a little while. But we didn't really, because I'm not big into rehearsal usually, and neither was anyone in the movie, I think. Mm-hmm. I think so, in a way, when you're a film actor, you sort of start to figure out other strange ways to prepare and rehearse because you don't usually have the time for that. Mm-hmm. So we didn't do much rehearsal, and yet somehow we just smashed into each other and created that, because I think it's there, you know? But we sort of found it as we worked, Christian and I.
Right.
Yes, could you talk a little bit about working for Chris Nolan and what he brings to the table, what you took away from working with him?
I mean, I was a fan of his, to the point where, I wasn't looking to work, actually, when this came along. I had a 3-month-old baby, and I wasn't reading scripts or anything, and I met him because I liked him and his work, and I thought he was so smart and honest. And I think we really connected on something that was very important to me, because I didn't want to do the movie under any circumstances. I wanted to make sure that she was going to be able to be a real thinking woman, that she was going to be able to be fierce and feisty and smart and care as much about honor and justice in the community she was in as much as any of these guys did. And Chris seemed to so completely agree with me about that. It felt to me as if exactly the thing that was most important to me was most important to him. And even so, I sort of thought, okay, great, good. At least I know he agrees with me. He'll go and he'll deal with the 2,000 extras and the bat motorcycle and the, the helicopters and stuff, and I'll do my thing. At least he won't be upset about what I'm doing. And then when we got on set, that wasn't at all the way it was. It was like literally there would be 2,000 people that he had to manage and that he had to choreograph, and guns going off and, explosions. And he would find a way to come to see Aaron and I, who were like in the very back of this huge shot doing a little tiny scene, and give me some note that was thoughtful and inspiring and really helpful. And I think I didn't expect it. All I needed to know when I went in was like, let me just be sure that like you get me and you like what I want to do. And then it turned out that he pushed me even further than I wanted to go myself.
Now, one of the scariest scenes in the film for me is when Heath's Joker and your character, have a confrontation at the party, and he's grabbing your face, and there's all this stuff going on. Can you talk about shooting that? I mean, how much of that was kind of scripted, and how much of it sort of came up as a result of the interaction between the two of you?
Well, Heath, now that I've seen the movie, I know that he did something that was just remarkable in the movie, and that even for the most experienced and talented actors is very rare, which is that he hit this stride where he is absolutely free. And I hadn't acted with him or seen any of his work at all in the movie until I came to set that day to do that scene. And then I kind of got this sense of how he was working and what was happening, and so even though the scene is very scary and full of tension and horrible in a lot of ways, I actually had such a blast shooting it with him, because anything I did, he would roll with me, and he threw all sorts of things at me. And plus, the camera shot us. It just was one camera going around us in a circle. So, you know, often if you shoot a scene, you have to shoot it in many angles. And so if you've shot the scene, then you have to match the same action that you did in all the other angles. But when you're just shooting it over and over again, moving around two people, you don't really have to match anything. So, yeah, things were different in every take. And it was really exciting working with them.
Did you know him very well before you did the movie together?
I knew him some.
Yeah. Did that give you more, I don't know, comfort or anything in working with him, or not?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay. I'm curious if you, did you have any, I'm not sure about the, you worked with the IMAX cameras at all?
I don't think so. In fact, I asked somebody, I would know, right? If I worked. they said you might not know.
Gary only said they're as big as a washing machine and very noisy.
Oh, then I write
the special booklet telling you how to act.
really? Like, yeah, they say, like, you don't
subtle,
have, you don't have to do very much.
Yeah, be very subtle, yeah.
I don't think so. I didn't get the booklet.
What was your reaction when you first read the script, and how closely is the final film to what you originally read?
Well, I sort of started to talk about that when I mean, I guess maybe I didn't say that part. That's sort of been part of the whole thing I've had to say, I'll tell you. But when I first met Chris, he gave me the script, and he said it wasn't quite, she wasn't quite finished. And I thought he was right, frankly, when I read it. I mean, she was missing some kind of fire, you know, but he knew that, and that's what I meant in terms of, you know, when I read it in terms of Rachel's stuff, I said, we've got to find that, you know, I need her to care as much as everyone else does, and be as active in trying to get what she wants as everyone else does.
Was that interrogation scene always yours? Because I feel like in any other movie, that would have been Aaron doing the interrogation with you standing behind the glass. And I like that it was sort of the other way around, that you're in the room with the money launderer and he's behind the glass.
I love that scene. That's my favorite scene to act in the whole movie. I think I would like to play a lawyer again and get to do a little more cross-examination. So I loved that. It was so much fun. And Chris was really helpful in that scene, kind of pushing me all the way through to be more confident. I mean, I sort of thought, I want to make her so strong. And then he would sort of show me ways that what I was doing wasn't actually the ideal thing, you know, but what about this? What about that? You know, I remember once in the scene where we're in the courtroom and Aaron is really late, and I added in a line, which, like, was very unusual. I don't know what I was thinking, but I added in a line. I said something like, well, you know, I could just as easily have tried this case. And Chris said, if you say that, it actually puts you on the defensive in a way that makes it seem less likely that you could just have easily have tried the case. If you say nothing and you just are capable, then we believe that that's true. And it was absolutely right, you know.
Who is your favorite fictional hero, and do you have an actual hero, a real hero in life?
My favorite fictional hero... so bad at this kind of thing. I probably have many, many, but like you asked me and there's cameras on or whatever these are and I can't think. Fictional hero, I mean, I wasn't into comic books really. I didn't, I just never read them. But I mean, I admire people who are willing to risk something, something sometimes even as fundamental as their life, for what they believe is the good of the world. And there are many people who are willing to do that. Not as many as I would like, but it's why it's so valuable. I think it's why, I think it's what I was so relieved that this movie did. You know, like, this movie's made for millions and millions and millions of dollars. So many people, you know, putting so much effort and thought and heart into it. And I was afraid it wouldn't be about anything. I mean, that's the fear, I guess. I mean, the script was about something, of course. And there's Chris Nolan's directing it, but, you know, what if it weren't? And instead, it's a movie about honor and being willing to, you know, fight against what you believe is corrupt, and justice, and, you know, being courageous enough to try and change things.
Can you talk a little bit, I know you got to go, but could you talk a little bit about Farlanders and working with Sam Mendes?
Yeah, Farlanders is a movie I made in the spring with Sam Mendes, and I don't know, I had a blast when that movie's a comedy, and I play I play this woman who's, like, really into sort of, like, hippie attachment parenting, and everyone, her whole family sleeps in this huge big bed, and she's still nursing her four-year-old, and, you know, it's, like, so funny. You know, I had a really good time making that movie. It was, again, really good actors, really good director, and when you have that so easy